much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Bang! 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 Try and stop it! Bang! Bang! Here I come! Bang! Bang! Bang!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Founded in 1999, the World Canine Freestyle Organization has now grown to over 20 chapters in 17 countries. And their ultimate goal? To one day see musical canine freestyle become an Olympic sport.
This is why I drink. This is why I drink.
Oh, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the wolf in the hunt.
And now,
Mr. Donaghy, I'm sorry. Can we get back to the meeting?
Of course. My apologies to our friends from the great city of Los Angeles.
Hey, stop laughing. L.A. rules. Michael Bay, Freeway, Legoland.
Our feature presentation.
There it is, 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number if you want to get in on the early edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew for a Tuesday. We have a couple of lines open, and we'll get to your calls in about a minute. Psycho Mike, Lisa May. Hey.
Good morning.
Word. What's going on?
What's going on, Mike?
Gangster stuff.
Mike and I were discussing just very briefly right before we went on that we both experienced the first last night.
Really?
As we saw our first ever episodes of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, you both watched?
Yeah.
Now, it's obvious why
no
I watched.
No kidding.
But why did you watch, Mike?
I was not at home. I was with someone else, and they had it on in their home, and there was a bunch of guests there, and they seemed to be
they
into
had a
it.
Party? Like a Dancing with the Stars party?
No, they did not have a Dancing with the Stars party. But I happened to stop by someone else's house at like 8:10 p.m., and it was like they were all watching it, and I wasn't about to say, can we change this, please?
No, that would
and
really
then I actually did find myself somewhat into it, you know, 10 minutes in.
Well, you know, I watched the whole first season and half of the second until you guys paid me not to.
Yeah.
And it's pretty compelling how hard they have to work. And then, boom, you're on. And those dances aren't a minute long. They're long, intricate, involved dancing.
Well, I would imagine that, like, deeper in the season, they give you more of, like, their training or whatever they do.
They do, but,
because the first episode, they only really show them preparing for their first dance.
Right.
And it's doesn't appear hard at all. It just everybody looks clumsy and dumb.
Right.
But I was very happy to see nonstop hot chicks in ridiculous outfits.
Yes, there's a lot of that. There's something for everyone.
Now, that being said, this was not enough to get me to watch another episode because there's this thing called pornography, Lisa May,
right?
Where these chicks aren't in skimpy outfits. They're naked, mm-hmm. and they're doing nasty things, which is way better than watching them do the cha-cha in a stupid outfit.
It's a different kind of cha-cha movie.
Yes,
is what
yes.
It is.
Gotcha. Well, I do understand that. And I will tell you that the only way I think that you can watch the show is to TiVo it or DVR it and then fast forward through some of the crap.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty good.
I will
good.
Tell you, considering it was a two-hour show, it had far less crap in it than I would expect. I mean, it definitely moves a lot faster than, say, American Idol, a
yes.
show that I am familiar with, which just is nothing but speed bumps. It's a fairly well-oiled machine, and I'll also tell you that it was weird. I was thinking about this because I know it's an immensely popular show. I mean, it's number one every week when it's on. And I was also thinking the judges are nice. I didn't mm-hmm. have any problem with the judge. They weren't stupid. Like all the other shows, whether it's America's Got Talent or American Idol, you always like the judges are boring and you kind of hate them.
Right.
These judges were all fine. I thought Tom Bergeron's a terrific host. I had no problem with him.
Yeah,
good
he's
pacing,
good
backstory, good editing. The only problem I have with the show is I don't care a lick about anyone dancing.
Except for Buzz Armstrong.
Or Buzz Aldrin.
Good old Buzz Armstrong.
That guy.
Yep.
Buzz Armstrong. Good old Buzz
Armstrong. All right, I might have crossed
he's good
those
friends
names
with
a
Craig
little
Wilson.
Bit.
Craig Wilson and Buzz Armstrong.
What does a guy have to do to get you to know his name?
All right, speaking of
walked on the moon.
Speaking of Buzz Aldrin, B.
Yes.
I have as much respect for him as you do. I think it was incredibly courageous what he did and that he's a national hero, but he dances like ass.
All right,
they've
let me
always
put it this
got
way.
A few of those.
He's bad for an 80-year-old. He's bad for an 80-year-old who's never danced. He's bad for that.
Yeah.
So, and his partner, Lisa, mm-hmm. was talking him through the entire dance, which is fairly distracting.
While they were like, performing?
Move left, two steps right,
oh.
lift, you know.
I mean, he's mouthing 1, 2, three
N. Bless his heart. He's not going to get too far, I don't think. So I don't really have to remember his name.
No.
And here's another thing. By the way, not to get on a big tangent of Dance with the whole thing with Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls was when they do their little pre-dance interview. A lot of people say I might have an advantage because, you know, I've been dancing. But I don't, because I've never really danced this type of dance. And
that is such crap.
And then as soon as you get out there, you can see that she fully understands posture and hitting points and timing and choreography. Right. She spent her entire adult life working with choreography to prepare for big shows in front of thousands and thousands of people. How can she say she doesn't have an advantage over Erin Andrews, who is a sportscaster?
Right. Yeah, that's a bunch of crap.
She's playing it down. She's being the guy on the football team who says, yeah, we're just, we're lucky to be here. We're just going to work real hard. Just hope we have a good showing, when they know that they're a much better team. I mean, she's just trying to psych out her competitors at that point and not be bulletin board material for everybody else by saying, yeah, I've got this in the bag.
It really is kind of unfair that they would put someone like that on the show who is so, I mean, that really is her job.
And they do that with every season, right?
They got Lance Bass year. You just stop it, people.
I agree.
Some people want to see good dancing, too, I think. You can't have all Buzz Aldrins or Buzz Armstrongs. At least anyway, Dance of the Stars is back. I've got to watch one more week to see Mr. Aldrin get booted next week. But other than that, then I can go back to peaceful oblivion. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Tuesday Kevin and Bean What It Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew? Jordo is calling us on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. He will receive a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt just for being on the air with us. Hey, Jordo, what's going on, dude?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What'd it do?
What's happening, dude?
Hey, Psycho Mike, F you, quit playing 30 Seconds to Mars.
Okay. You're right, because I'm the one who chooses all the music that we play here, so go ahead and give me the big F you.
All right,
Jordo, what do you got?
So I got a question for you guys. If you guys had the power to freeze time right now, what would you guys do?
I would freeze time 1 minute ago before we took your call.
That's like that answer.
Before you move on to also, what do you mean by freeze time? Meaning that you stop everything in the world except for you. You're allowed to run around and do whatever you want, but everybody else is frozen?
Yeah, just like Hero and Gamora.
Yeah.
Have sex with Lisa. That's right. All right, next point.
Yesterday, I thought I had the fear, and I was rushing home. It was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, actually, I was a foot-long plus. Not only did I score a touchdown, but I touched the bottom of the tub.
Do I want to know what this means?
I don't have any idea what he's talking
about. He's Mike actually does. Giving measurements of his...
All right, let's move on.
His achievements in the bathroom.
Is on line two. Hey, Chad, I'm sorry you had to hear that. I'm sorry everybody had to hear that. What's going on, dude?
Dude, I went to court the other day to pay my ticket, and a cop stole my Dodgers hat.
What? What are you talking about?
All I got to say is ask the police, but I'll give you the details right now.
Okay.
So I had a speeding ticket, right?
Yeah.
And I had to go in there, and I had to park far away, so I grabbed my board and skated down there, and I had my Dodgers hat on. And so I go to the freaking airport security they have in there, and the dude up front, the freaking rent-a-cop's like, all right, take your hat off. And I was like, okay. And he's like, put your skateboard underneath. And he starts giving me all this attitude. I'm like, dude, I just need to pay a ticket. So I put my board underneath and give him my hat, and I go through. And like 5 minutes later, after I pay my ticket, I come back, and he's like, what do you want? And I was like, dude, I was here 5 minutes ago. You swear like you don't remember. I need my board and my hat. And he's like, okay, here's your board, but you didn't come in with a hat. And
oh,
I was like,
dude.
What the hell, man? And so I started giving some choice words, you know. And the other real cop decided to escort me out before it escalated. And I lost my freaking Dodgers hat, man.
Wow.
What do you think that was about? Why would he do that?
Because he wanted it.
Because he's got the power and he didn't get laid until he was 86.
Well, maybe that was it. You need to freeze time and go back there and find your hat.
Also, I just want to add, I don't want a freaking Kevin and Bean t-shirt, man.
Okay. You, Psycho Mike.
There's a theme this
two
morning.
In a row. I know.
and I happen to agree with the theme. I think I'm on board with the listeners. All right. Big program today, including a call-in topic that I'm really looking forward to it. And there's an article on this same topic, so we're not the only ones who have noticed it. Sometimes you'll go to a movie and it'll be great, except for one inexplicable scene that almost is so bad that it ruins the whole film for you.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, emo Spider-Man singing jazz comes to mind as something that you just can't understand how it ever made the movie and stayed in there to ruin an otherwise okay film.
Right.
But we're going to be taking your calls on that. Psycho Mike, your girlfriend Nicole from the Fly Girls is going to be in today.
Woo!
She's an actual flight attendant for Virgin Airlines, and she's on a new reality show. You'll have the opportunity to talk to her and ask a flight attendant on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And it's a huge week for the Twitards. As you know, New Moon is out on DVD, and we've got highlights of the DVD commentary. If you
Excellent.
Can believe it. A lot of the stuff on that DVD, stuff you didn't know about when you saw the movie in theaters. It's
oh, I'm very
crazy.
Excited, yeah.
And I know everybody loves the Twilight, so we'll get into that. And what's up with Spencer Pratt being thrown off the hills and being sent to anger management? Look, that's all he's got left is being on the hills. He's pretty much failed at everything else he's done. If he burns that bridge, then where's he at?
That's a really good question.
So we'll find out all about that. Plus, Ralph's got our first look at the showbiz beat when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Lisa May, do you know what the name is of the gentleman who just sat down here in the studio? Can you put his first and his last name together in the correct order?
I think it's Ralph Garman.
Armstrong.
That's
Wilson. Ralph Armstrong.
Buzz
Ralph
Armstrong.
Ryder.
Did you hear that, Ralph? Did you hear what we're dealing with in here?
Tell me about it.
I'm good.
Time for the, by the way, Rob Corddry from the Hot Tub Time Machine stopped by at the very end of yesterday's show. If you missed it, he's very funny. We've got highlights of that coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean program. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Congratulations to Sacha Baron Cohen. Finally made an honest woman out of his longtime girlfriend, Isla Fisher. Of course, they have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're husband and wife. Apparently, they said, I do, at a private ceremony in Paris, France, on March 15th, after a six-year engagement.
Wow.
How about that?
They've got a two-year-old little girl named Olive. And apparently it was a very small event, so small that Isla Fisher had to send out an email to her friends describing it as the absolute best day of my life, and I was so sad that some of you couldn't be there to enjoy it.
Or really any of you.
But they please send gifts. Please send gifts.
Exactly. They're a celebrity couple that manages to do what so many others don't seem to be able to do, which is to live a private life and, and stay out of off the radar.
And then Sacha Baron Cohen had sex with that tattooed girl. So I think we're going to have problems.
Really?
It's a
shame.
Hey, check this out. Let's party total crazy.
Speaking of Sandra Bullock, Monique is speaking out on Sandra's marriage to Jesse James. Oh, thank God we're getting her take on it. She's saying that she is praying for Sandra and Jesse. And she would love to have a conversation with Sandra so she could help her through this.
Does she think because they both won Oscars that they're in the club now? That they're best BFFs or something? What?
I guess. Sandra Bullock's attorney said, shave your legs! Sandra, meanwhile, canceled another appearance. She was supposed to be at the Berlin premiere of The Blind Side. And she said she could not appear due to personal reasons, and I guess we know.
This is just the crappiest timing for her. This should be like the best time of her life.
It should be. Well, she should have that before she started living with that black dude. I think a lot of people started talking about her when she took that young black man into her bedroom.
No. That was
chocolate loving. People are going to start talking about it. That's all I'm saying. She should have done it.
She was playing a character. It was
Sophie
a movie.
Monk's in the news.
Yeah, good.
I feel bad for Sophie Monk. You know, she just had a bad car accident.
No, I didn't know.
Broke her foot, her back, and her sternum.
Dude.
So she's been spending a lot of time rehabilitating and healing and spent a lot of time on the web, which she discovered was a bad idea. She was whining this week to a reporter saying she found no complimentary comments about her on any of the blog sites. Just mean, nasty notes about her having plastic surgery. But you know what, Sophie? You win because you're still Sophie Monk.
That's true.
And there's always crappy things anyone can say about anything.
Hey, we're saying very nice things about Sophie Monk and always have. So if you want to feel good
website.
About yourself, yeah, do that.
Well, only we had one. And Jonah Hill, funny guy, you may not want to ask him to babysit your kids. According to Star Magazine, he was asked to read a book to some kids at an event here in Los Angeles called Milk and Bookies Storytime. Jonah volunteered to read the kids a story, and while he was reading the book, the pages of the book he was reading got stuck, and he dropped the F-bomb in front of a room full of kids. He thought it was hilarious, but one of the mothers pulled him aside and apparently let him have it, saying it was completely inappropriate to say that in front of a bunch of kids.
He could not contain himself for 20 minutes.
Come on, it's funny to curse in front of children.
Aww.
It absolutely is. The mom should be more concerned about why the pages were so sticky.
No, giggity. And I heard you homos talking about Dancing with the Stars that you watched last night.
Yeah.
Did you have fun? Was that a good time? Everyone sitting around the TV watching Dance with the Stars?
I went to a Dancing with the Stars party.
I didn't go to a Dancing with the Stars party.
Did you? Well, it was a little chilly last night. Didn't the wind blow up your skirt while you were going to a Dance with the Stars party?
It was femme for me to do that. I can't deny.
Hey, look.
Did you bring your own lip gloss, or do they have it there at the party when
you
show up?
No, I had some organic lip gloss. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I don't know how I'm gonna pull this off, but I'm gonna contend that Mike's Dancing with the Stars experience was gay. Mine was. I get a pass because I had a reason to tune in to see, you know, Mr. Aldrin.
Yeah, it was work.
Because you're in love with an elderly man. You're right. That is less gay. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That's worse.
Because I pay tribute to a national hero. That's why.
Well, you were also in your own home with your own television in control of whatever you wanted to watch. That's way worse than I walked to someone's home. I'm not about to tell them what to watch.
Pam Anderson's on the show.
Really?
She said she got a little jump on conditioning before she danced last night on Dancing with the Stars. She got some private lessons from her old buddy Carmen Electra.
Pam Anderson?
Apparently Carmen came over to her house and they worked together on some dance routines to help Pam get in a little bit of shape and get used to taking some choreography. So the two of them were dancing, I like to think, in the nude at her house.
If only it was 1997, that would have been hot.
She looked pretty good last night, though. I gotta be honest. As much as we've ragged on her in recent years for her decline, she actually cleaned up pretty good for the camera.
She looks fine, by the way. The only reason people pick on her, like you, is because of the drop-off from where she was to where she is. But if you never knew who Pam Anderson was before, and Pam Anderson walked in the room and say, holy crap, who's that hot blonde with the giant cans?
Yeah.
If she were made up, I agree. But the problem is we've been seeing all these, you know, paparazzi picking up the kids' photos for the last few years of her without the makeup, and
hey,
she's way fugged.
Halle Berry looks beat without her makeup on.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of women do. I mean, what are you going to do? That's why women wear makeup.
Especially when you put them in crappy lighting.
Ugly. Women are basically ugly. That's why they need makeup.
That's right.
That's why they have it.
Why do they wear perfume?
They've been wearing it since Nefertiti.
Oh, Ralph.
Now that's Mike. Are you all right? Are you high?
I don't know.
Go
something
home.
Something is really wrong.
Someone slipped Lisa a roofie. She looks like Mike said, oh, Ralph.
I
She's
know.
Like right at Ralph
know.
Armstrong. Why are you saying that?
Michael Wilson.
Did you hit your
home.
Head? Did you get a blow to the head while you were driving
maybe
in?
Maybe something happened last night.
Wow, someone roofied Lisa.
Awesome.
That is scary.
It's really freaky.
Is your butt sore?
No. That'd be
like,
normal.
Looks like I picked a good year to quit watching American Idol. They've just announced that the first mentor to the kids over there in American Idol will be Miley Cyrus.
Oh.
Nobody wants that, you stupid asshole.
You know, If I'm a 25-year-old guy who's there singing for my supper on American Idol, the last thing I want to do is take any advice from 16-year-old Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wasn't telling me, oh, here's how you sing with giant llama teeth. God damn that show. And they're bringing in Joe Jonas and Demi Lovato to perform this week.
Oh, my God. So whatever happened to Paul McCartney and guys like that they used to have? And then Gwen Stefani and
same.
People like that.
Miley Cyrus, same as Gwen Stefani. Same level of talent. Who is she to mentor anyone?
Yeah.
She's a crappy actress who sings crappy pop songs. What has she accomplished?
Fame and success. That's got to be the barometer.
She didn't do it. Disney handpicked her and made her. They could make me a success. They could make Mike a success. Well, all right, maybe not Mike. But they could make almost anyone a success if they put you on television, gave you your own show, and spoon-fed you to the youth of America. Has nothing to do with her.
Her mentoring should be, guys, get on a Disney show. Okay, I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Get a multi-million-dollar corporation to get behind you and force-feed you to the youth of America.
Have your dad write Inky Breaky Heart, too. That always helps.
God damn. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Birthdays, rather. Rick Ocasek from The Cars. He is 61 years old today. Chaka Khan. She celebrated her birthday today. She's 57 years old. Catherine Keener. One of my favorite actors. Richard Grieco. Booker. He's 45 years old today. Actress Marin Hinkle.
And she is...
Apparently, she's on Two and a Half Men, according to the Daily King of Mexico.
Oh, that great show. Okay.
That effing show, don't get me started. She's 44 years old today. Carrie Russell from Felicity. She is 34 years old today. And Buzz Armstrong. Buzz Armstrong, American astronaut, celebrates his birthday today.
I think it may be Neil Armstrong, maybe, he's celebrating.
Right? I'm just kidding. There is no Buzz Armstrong. It was a little callback to a joke we made when Lisa called that guy Buzz Armstrong, remember?
I got that, but I thought maybe it was somebody's actual birthday today, and that's why you're bringing it up again. I
think
it could have been Buzz Aldrin's birthday or Neil Armstrong's birthday.
I think you
birthday.
Both got hit in the head.
Not really sure.
Kevin,
that.
We're fine.
You should get an MRI, the both of you.
I'm Ralph Cleo.
I walk the showbiz please.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance to ask a flight attendant. Coming up later on today's show with the beautiful Nicole. With a K, by the way, which is kind of BS from the Fly Girls show.
That's very Orange County. There's nothing you can do about
that. So lame, though. Does it make you interesting because you spelled Nicole with a K? Sorry. Although she happens to be interesting and hot. So I'm excited about Nicole coming in later on today. All right, let's talk about the twitards for a second. Look.
Right.
Here my whole thing. I get... the fans of a movie that camp out for the midnight showing because they can't wait. They're so excited. It's new. They want to see it. It's not me. I wouldn't do it, but I understand those people because it's their franchise. It's their favorite. They love those characters. They can't wait to see what happens next. They wait up for the movie. Gotcha. I don't get those same people who then 8 months later are camped out waiting at the Best Buy at midnight for the DVD to go on sale of the movie that they've already seen 30 times in the theaters.
That is a little odd.
I don't understand that, but I guess they had to get. And we're talking about Twilight New Moon, which is out on DVD this past week. And I guess they just had to get it because there's that one deleted scene. Kristen Stewart is Margaret, and she's talking to Taylor Lautner, who's Paco, and they're talking about some other chick in the show, and didn't make the movie. And I guess they need to see that. Of course, then there's the commentary tracks, and they're all like, oh my God, let's find out what Kristen Stewart thought about while she was filming this scene. Because, she's riveting, and
sure.
I can't get enough of her. So, as a favor of the Twitards, and I know inexplicably there are a lot of you out there, and I know that you're listening to this program. We hear from you all the time. We thought this would be a real treat for you to kind of share some of the New Moon DVD commentary. Kristen Stewart herself talking about scenes that are happening in Twilight New Moon.
De Volturi, you're very old.
This is Kristen Stewart giving you commentary, I suppose. This is me and Rob.
You live with him for a few days.
Looking at a picture of the Volturi. And look, the picture moves. Okay? How they do it? I don't know. I'm a f***ing actor. Why are you even bothering me? Special effects or some shit? Whatever.
Vampires have laws.
Oh, look at my hair.
Not very many.
Look at his hair.
And only one. It's
look at our hair. Ugh. Stupid hair.
I don't know that she's taking it seriously, but apparently that's her commentary.
She doesn't seem very happy that this movie is so successful.
She doesn't seem very pleased to be there to contribute to the experience for the fans, but let's give her another shot and see what's going on with New Moon DVD commentary.
Oh my God.
It's Kristen Stewart again.
Did you see that?
It's me and Taylor. And there's the other wolf boys. You're like jumping off a cliff.
Not really fighting, Bella. They're cliff diving.
I don't know if they really did it or not. I wasn't even there that day. They just shot my stuff with Taylor because I had to go get a colonic. Look at his hair. How stupid his hair is. Why is his hair so long? So glad they cut his hair in this movie.
I don't know.
Let's just jump ahead to when they cut his hair. Whatever.
Ember used to call him Homa.
Yeah, she's not bringing. She doesn't sound like a fan of the franchise. That's what's a surprise to me.
No, but that she got a colonic is interesting.
Yeah.
Especially to big fans of the movie. That's a nugget.
Probably was,
nugget,
too.
Really nugget, Lisa?
one more from New Moon DVD commentary.
I know you have something to say to me.
Okay, this is me and Tay and Rob. This is like the big moment in the movie, I guess. But I'm just so glad they cut Taylor's hair. He looks so much better with short hair. And Oh. It's about me being a vampire, not being a vampire, blah, 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 blah. Blah. And I'm still grateful. So they have to figure out, like, whether they're going to have a treaty or a truce or whatnot. Whatever. Look at Taylor. He looks all buff. This whole forest was, like, so cold. Movie making stupid. You have to get all cold and pretend to be somebody else and put on makeup. Whatever. Look at my hair.
No, I won't let you.
All right. This woman's consumed with hair.
In stores now, Tritards, won't you please enjoy? Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins in regards to one scene that can ruin a whole movie. Slumdog Millionaire has to be on the list. The whole movie was great up until the ending scene where the whole cast breaks out in a lame dance. That ruined the whole movie, in my opinion. But who's with me?
The movie was over.
That person is retarded.
And I loved that part.
And it's a classic homage to Bollywood filmmaking, where all the exactly. casts always get together and do those Indian dances.
Wrong.
That person should be murdered.
I believe that all of that was missed on Lavernius, who wrote with we're going to be, which is my favorite book of the New Testament, by the way. We're going to be doing that topic of one scene, an otherwise great movie, but one scene ruined it for you. That's coming up in about 20 minutes, right after Ralph Schopis beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of Ralph, what are you doing in here?
Are you doing is the question. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What did do you mean see, by naked?
Did you see the photo that we got from your home that we put up on the KevinandBean.com website today? Did you see that photo?
No, what photo? What are you talking about?
It's unbelievable.
Who sent a photo?
We got it from someone. You don't need to know.
Than I thought.
You have a pink, first of all, a pink Christmas tree, and second of all, it's still up.
It's giant. It's a giant pink Christmas tree.
It's a giant pink Christmas tree that is still up in your house.
All right. I'm on the
website. What are you doing?
First of all, where's the camera in my house where somebody's taking pictures and posting them to the website? First of all,
it's a webcam. It's a webcam. It's hotdouchebags.com.
That is my Christmas tree, and it is maybe technically still up.
Take it down. I'm going to take it down today.
Well, I'm not going to take it down today because it's a tremendous amount. Look, did you take down your tree already?
Yeah, you know what I took it down? Just after New Year's.
Well, first of all, what's your rush? But second of all, what a pain in the ass it is taking the trees down because you've got to take all of the ornaments off and all of the lights off and pack them all away. And then drag the tree out. It's so much easier just to leave it up.
No, but it's wrong. You know, it's easier not to bathe. It's easier for me not to bathe or change my clothes because I have to take all my clothes off and I have to wash those clothes. I have to put brand new clothes on and I have to do the laundry and wash the old dirty clothes. It's so much easier just to stink like a bum and wear the same old dirty clothes and be foul and disgusting. But I opt to do the right thing and bathe and change my clothing and wash it.
I get all of that, but that's because that affects other people. I can understand why you don't want to smell bad because you're in public and you've got to be concerned with the needs and wants of others. But with my Christmas tree, it's in my house and nobody else sees it.
We just saw it. Now take it down because now it's affecting us. Because now we know. Everyone knows. And we've all seen it. We now know it exists. It's going to bother us all. Take it down is what I'm saying.
Can't you see it from your front window outside? Isn't it framed in the window?
People drive by and they see the lights?
Yeah. If there were any other people where you live, they would see it.
But it's not like I've got a giant Christmas display with, you know, reindeer and lights and a waving Santa out in the front yard with fake snow all over the yard.
He's got a giant clown head on his house. He's got bigger problems than the Christmas tree. But this is the beginning. Let's start with just putting the tree away. Do the right thing. It's over.
Every other year you put it away. Why is it staying out this year?
I don't know. It was just one of those things where we meant to take it down and then we didn't. And then it seemed like it got, look, we got so far into the year now that if I take it down today, I've just got to turn around practically in a week and put it back up.
No, you got seven
it's
months.
March.
Yeah. You know how quickly the holidays arrive.
Pay your manservant, Marty. He does everything else. He can take down your tree.
You have people. Let someone just let him do it. You don't do anything. You work from home. Just do it.
I could technically do it before the end of the show.
Exactly. I think what Ralph is saying is just do it.
Do you have Easter bunnies hanging around your house? Do you have shamrocks? Do you have flags from the 4th of July? I mean, just leave every goddamn thing up that you put up.
It does look like a calendar exploded on my house, come to think of it.
Do you have pumpkins? Do you have jack-o'-lanterns around your house? Do you have skeletons and witches hanging around from last Halloween?
Let's talk to Charlotte real quick. She's on line one.
Do you have those things?
I have some of those things, but the point is that I enjoy decorations. There's nothing wrong with decorations. Charlotte, you're with me, right? Help me out here, baby.
Kinda. I don't know. We've had our Christmas tree up for like 5 or 6 years now.
Oh. But it's not special anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it gets really dusty and gross, and the cats like to pee on it because it's like an indoor bush.
You live in filth.
Yeah.
You are a disgusting woman.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, not probably. You're definitely a disgusting woman.
Well, I was hoping to get some help. I didn't know I was going to hear from a hoarder. All right, thank you very much for the call, Charlotte.
Here's the thing that's weird to me is that Bean, he has the Christmas music year-round website, and he leaves his Christmas tree up, but he really loves the Christmas season and all that. But no one likes happiness less than Bean. No one loves death and tyranny and anger and sadness more than Bean. I don't understand.
And he hates kids.
Well, yeah, why Christmas?
And he's not religious.
If anything,
in any way.
I would think that Halloween would be the the holiday that you choose to celebrate year-round.
I do love Halloween, too. I do. But I just, my Christmas tree, I like it there. It looks good.
No, it doesn't. It looks good at Christmas, but it doesn't look good now. It looks stupid now. Take it down, is what we're saying.
I will make a note of it.
No, you will take it down. Say, I'll take it down.
Isn't it a little early for Christmas?
You mean late? It's been up for 2 years.
There you go. That guy's with me. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What the hell's going on, Ralph?
Hey, you know what they're going to do?
What?
They're going to take a cartoon character and then make a big screen version of that cartoon character.
What?
They're going to make a big movie about a cartoon character.
They've never done that before.
Oh. I love how Hollywood is just always trying new ground.
Mm-hmm.
They've just announced that Popeye is the next cartoon getting the big 3D movie treatment. Sony Pictures has announced their plans to take the comic strip Sailor and turn him into a big budget, big screen 3D movie.
Mm.
Popeye.
So,
hotter
that's
than ever.
Been done before, right? And it took this many years for the stench of the last version to kind of waft away?
Well, I believe this version will be computer-generated animation.
It won't be Robin Williams?
It won't be Robin Williams with a corncob pipe and big puffy forearms. But, the live-action Popeye 1980 was famously one of the worst movies ever made.
That's pretty bad.
But this one is bringing Popeye back to the popular culture. Do people even know who Popeye is anymore? Does anyone care?
So.
He eats spinach and gets strong, right?
It's not the type of show that young people would have seen. They don't still run the Popeye cartoons. It's like you grow up watching it like you do some of the other ones.
So there you have it. Apparently, the story will, of course, involve Popeye's girlfriend, Olive Oil. Boy, was she skinny.
She was thin.
She was not a
fat woman. Not robust.
His adopted child, Sweepy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
His hamburger-loving friend, Wimpy. And, of course, his arch-nemesis, Bluto.
That's right.
Is it Brutus or Bluto?
It was both. Early on it was Brutus, and then it became Bluto later on in the Popeye's
career. What happened to Brutus?
Same guy, different name. They just changed the name. Get over it, Psycho Mike. Move on. Bean's got a pink Christmas tree. That's all you need to know. All I need to worry about right now.
Is Popeye, I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today?
That was Wimpy used to say that.
Right.
I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Okay, in that case, I'm in.
I can't believe it. Spinach.
You should talk like that a lot. This story is awesome. You know what? We're not good. Because we've stopped watching The Wife Swap. That's still an amazing program.
Dominant.
The Wife Swap.
Dominant show.
They keep finding horrible families to do this show about. None more so than the Guastafaro family. Here's the thing about this family. They got Alicia as their 18-year-old daughter,
mm-hmm.
who these parents will do anything to make her the princess of pageants, they call her.
Oh, no.
They give her presents every day, wrapped presents of every day of her life. They give her presents.
Oh, my God.
This girl. Talk about spoiled. She She's in these pageants. She's hideous, by the way. She's hideously ugly. But you can tell they bleach her hair and they've given her plastic surgery and they dress her up. She's got the tiaras and all that stuff. Her mother does her daughter's homework for her because she says she doesn't have time with all the stuff that she's doing at the pageants and everything. So the mom does the homework for the kid.
What do they think this kid's going to do when she grows up?
I feel the way to Alicia's happiness, the mother says, is to give her everything she wants. Don't give her any rules. Why upset her? She asks. So anyway, Wife Swap puts this family on television.
Okay.
And little Alicia, an 18-year-old, who's now 18 years old, this pageant girl, says the following quote on the show.
I definitely think pageants define me as a person. I don't care what other people say. Appearance is everything in this world. I do feel sorry for people that are not gorgeous people.
She feels sorry for people who aren't gorgeous people. So anyway, the show airs, right?
Yeah.
Now this girl is saying that the show put her in a bad light. And she is suing ABC for $100 million.
She wants her way.
How dare you put her in a bad light?
She may find out that the world isn't really what it was.
They say she's saying
created for her.
They edited the show to maximize her public embarrassment by making her look like a spoiled brat.
Did she say all of those things?
She did say all those things, yeah.
Oh, my God. And by the way, you said she's unattractive. She also has a speech impediment.
She's got a major overbite.
She's got trouble.
She says since the show has aired, she's received death threats and now harbors suicidal tendencies.
Oh, my God.
She also says she's gone from the honor roll to special ed.
Well, that's her mom.
Well, the school's found out that, by the way, that she doesn't do her own homework. So
now she has to do her own homework?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Special ed. What a shame.
By the way, the lawsuit may also have something to do with the family's got some financial issues, including the fact that her mom and dad had to plead guilty to a felony money laundering scheme recently. So apparently the family's in desperate need of money, so they're hoping, I guess, ABC will pony up some cash.
Wow.
They are doing everything but faking a stuck Toyota Accelerator, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, man. She's so great, this girl. The news not great. Bombshell McGee.
Yeah.
No,
maybe not so great.
I don't care
great.
For her.
Of course, that was the name I fought under when I was a bantamweight back in my early boxing days, Bombshell McGee. Michelle Bombshell McGee, however, is the tattoo model who apparently, by her accounts, had a relationship with Jesse James. She did an interview with In Touch magazine for $30,000 where she revealed the initial part of that story. And now she's looking to make even more money. According to In Touch magazine, she is going around pitching additional information about the affair with Jesse James, including, she claims, X-rated photographs, text messages, and more intimate details about what Jesse James likes to do in the bedroom. According to a number of the weekly magazines, she is asking for $100,000 for what she is calling Kiss and Tell Part 2.
Would someone pay that?
I don't know. Guess we'll have to wait and see.
Sandra Bullock is now an A-plus movie star. Somebody will probably pay that.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
since the Oscar
right.
win and everything. So she wants $100,000 to tell more details about this disgusting
situation. I hope she
situation.
Uses some of that money to get the forehead tattoo removed.
Oh, that's what makes her. Are you kidding me? That's what makes her special. Speaking of which, the Nazi pictures. Have you seen her in the Nazi pictures?
Sure.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
the swastika and the Nazi hat on and doing all of that kind of stuff. Apparently that has cost her some work. A company that was hiring her to be the face of their brand, Angry White Girl Fashions. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Angry White Girl Fashion Line has announced on Monday that McGee will no longer be the face of the company. While the name for my fashion line is politically incorrect, says the owner of the line, it has no links to racism or fascism or white supremacy. Hmm. Nor does it endorse such nonsense. I have fired her and taken all of her pictures off my website. So apparently Bombshell McGee is losing work because of her Nazi fetish.
There's a photo up on TMZ.com today of, and I don't know where this came from, but Bombshell's refrigerator at home. You know, she's got two little kids, and
yeah.
she's got white power written on her refrigerator.
Well, who
for the
doesn't,
little kids to enjoy.
Who doesn't? You know what else she has? Pink Christmas tree that's still up.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
Year round, she needs it up.
Bombshell still got that up.
That's disgusting.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Rick Ocasek of The Cars is 61 years old today. He is good looking. For a zombie.
Is he still rocking the mullet? Has anyone seen him?
Yeah,
lately?
And he's okay. Still got the concave chest, which is a good look.
But isn't he also still married to some smoking hot model?
Paulina Porizkova.
Porizkova, yeah. Yeah, they are still together.
It's amazing.
There's a photo of them on the beach recently, and he is translucent white with a concave chest and and Ray-Bans and a mullet, and she is Polina Poroskova, which is just astounding.
Good for him.
Insane. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Is 57 years old today. Catherine Keener celebrates her 51st birthday. Richard Grieco.
There it is.
Who, of course, was Booker on 21 Jump Street, I guess, where he got his start. He is 45 years old. Inexplicably, he still maintains. Damon Albarn.
Oh.
Of Blur and Gorillaz is 42 years old today. And Felicity's Carrie Russell celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, about an hour from right now, the beautiful Nicole, she's a flight attendant for Virgin America, don't you know? She's a fly girl. She's going to be joining us for Ask a Flight Attendant. Very excited about that. Plus, we've got an update on why Spencer Pratt may be forced off the hills. That's his meal ticket. If he loses that, then what? We'll find out later on in the hour. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you came across a fascinating article on something called Cinematical.com, a website I've never heard of.
Cinematical is the name.
Oh, is that what it is? Maybe that's why I didn't hear of it before. I had too many syllables going.
It's a movie fan website that I like to check out once in a while. They had a great story on there about the new Alice in Wonderland movie, the new Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland movie, which, by the way, is just a runaway smash financial hit. Everyone's going to it. It's making millions and millions of dollars. But everyone seems to have the same complaint about the film, is that there's one scene in the movie that is ruining the film for them.
Uh-oh.
And it is the scene where the Mad Hatter, played by Johnny Depp, celebrates the victory over the Red Queen by engaging in a dance sequence that just goes on way too long, and it is just weird and out of place, and everyone is just scratching their head about this sequence. And it brought up the topic of how one bad scene can ruin an entire movie for some people. You're going along, you're enjoying the film just fine, and one thing happens in the movie that just kills it for you.
Did you see Alice in Wonderland?
I did.
What's the deal with that scene?
It makes sense in terms of the story. The Mad Hatter's happy, but the length and the degree to which he goes into this dance is off-putting. It's odd. It sticks out like a sore thumb.
The dance itself. It'd be one thing if Johnny Depp, the actor, danced, and it was kind of like a funny dance that everybody gathered around. But it's weird, kind of computer-generated, like limbs start flying around and his head spins. It is weird.
It's a weird, psychotic break for the film that makes you feel like you've taken hallucinogens. Well, the whole movie does. But even for this movie, it seems odd and out of place.
That reminds me of, and I know that we've got some other examples that we're going to be taking your calls on, the one scene that ruined an otherwise fine movie for you at 1-800-520-1067. I still, as much as I loved the original Star Wars trilogy, I still wish they had ended Return of the Jedi about 5 minutes earlier before you got that ridiculous scene with all the Ewoks dancing and everybody who's dead coming back and their little ghosts and everything. It was just so dumb.
Yeah, the Ewok block party for a lot of people.
Is
a major sticking point in that film when they're all playing the drums and dancing around and Luke looks over his shoulder and there's a bunch of ghosts hanging out in the treehouse with him.
Because otherwise it was a great movie,
well,
right?
I don't know. The whole Ewok presence bothers a lot of people.
Yeah, I get that. But what are some of the other ones that have come to light recently as you've been exploring this topic?
So Cinematical put together a list, or
Cinematical.
Has put together a list of some of the other famous scenes that have ruined otherwise perfectly good movies, like The Matrix Reloaded, which, you know, take it or leave it, some people don't care for Reloaded all that much. But there's one scene particularly that seems to throw them. It's when Morpheus, Lawrence Fishburne's character, who was cool for so long in that movie franchise, just goes into this lengthy speech reminiscent of the St. Christmas Day speech from Henry V, and he just goes off trying to rally the troops, and it's just completely out of character for him.
I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. I remember that for 100 years they have sent their armies to destroy us. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Yeah, boo. Overwritten, boo.
Yeah, it was a little clunky. And I guess the point was, this was, you know, you're leading up to the giant climax, the conclusion of the trilogy there. And it's supposed to be inspirational and get you pumped up, and you just laugh at them, right?
Yeah, because the speech is sort of stilted and it's weird. It makes him sound like William Wallace from Braveheart. And it's just not the character for three films. It's just not the guy. Also, speaking of not being the guy, Star Wars, we were talking about the film earlier, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh.
Which is the film where Anakin Skywalker actually becomes Darth Vader at the end of that film. And there's that great moment where they're bolting the suit onto his charred body after they fish him out of that lake of fire, that river of fire.
Now, that's a cool scene,
that's
though,
a cool scene, right.
Yeah.
So everyone's looking at that, and they're building Vader, and you're like, oh, this is the great moment, and you're waiting for it.
Yes, master.
Or something like that when he gets up. But that's not what you get when he's in the suit. It's like he looks in the mirror. He's got a bad haircut. What happened there? He's not happy that he's in a suit. He has become, oh, look at me. It's all black.
Pussy.
I didn't want to be a black guy.
Pussy Vader.
And lastly, the one everyone talks about is the, speaking of bad dance sequences, how about Spider-Man 3?
Spider-Man.
Where emo Spidey decides to go into a, what they call here in the story, a Ron Burgundy-style dance number. Remember when Ron Burgundy's playing jazz flute? It's that kind of thing where he's up on the bar and he's dancing, and it's just, I mean, this movie's got another moment where he does the Stayin' Alive strut. Remember that, when he comes out with the new clothes? But this sequence, he's in the jazz club showing off for Mary Jane, and he starts dancing all over the place, and it is horrible, and freaks every Spider-Man fan out. I know everyone hates this scene specifically, and here's a little taste of it.
This is for you.
Gets up on the tables and he's doing jazz dancing.
What?
Oh, it's just
terrible.
So freaking lame. So those are three examples, but we'd love to hear more from people out there who have scenes in movies that they liked otherwise, and then this scene came along and just ruined it for them.
Let's talk to Manny real quick on line one, and then we'll take a break and come back with everyone else's calls at 1-800-520-1067. Manny, I know you're calling about a great movie. What was your problem with the film Seven?
The film Seven, I would have to say, after I watched that movie, I think Gwyneth Paltrow's would freak me out more than those murder scenes. It was like her face was just one big murder scene.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, her face is creepy. It's the creepiest part of the movie, right?
Oh, come on. So you liked the movie, except Gwyneth's funny face. That's basically what ruined the whole thing for you.
Yeah, I didn't know if I needed to laugh or cry or go in the corner and hide. I mean, it was just weird.
Now, Ralph, is that actually a different topic, though, which is bad casting, where somebody just wasn't right for the role and not believable? That's not really a scene like what we're talking about,
yeah,
right?
There are some casting decisions that ruin movies for you because there's one person that you just hate and you don't like it. But we're talking about one particular scene in the film that just took you completely out of the film and ruined it for you otherwise.
Well, Manny, didn't it make Seven that much more potent for you because she gets her head torn off and then put in a box?
Yeah, I was wondering, was he crying because his wife got her head chopped off, or was he just seeing her face?
Just because he saw the face?
Oh, maybe that's why. Man.
I was wondering. I was like, what's going on?
All right. We didn't
care for her face, right? All right, 1-800-520-1067. Good movie. One scene ruined it for you. What's yours? We'll take your calls coming up next on The Kevin and Me.
No!
Ghost of the world. Thank you, Darth. It's 106.7 KROQ, the world-famous K-Rock at 722. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, bring folks up to speed just joining us during Papa Roach about what we're talking about.
Cinematical.com did a story on scenes in movies that ruin the entire movie for you. One bad scene can ruin a whole entire movie. Talk about Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, the freaky dance sequence with Johnny Depp, which ruined that movie for a lot of people. We mentioned already the Morpheus speech to Zion from Matrix Reloaded. Darth Vader and his no, his bitchy no when he becomes Darth Vader in the suit at the end of Revenge of the Sith. The Spider-Man 3 dancing in the jazz club for emo Spidey. So we're taking your phone calls on scenes in otherwise perfectly good movies that ruined the movie for you because the scene was so bad.
All right, we got some good ones, too, and some inexplicable ones. Let's start with Steven. He's on line one calling the Kevin and Bean Show today. Hi, Steven. Thanks for holding on. What's your movie?
Hi. My movie is Lord of the Rings. I have to say that it ruined it when Frodo woke up in the bed and, the Hobbit orgy started.
It wasn't a Hobbit orgy.
But it was a little gay, a little homosexual tendency there, a little vibe.
Just a little bit.
A little vibe.
Just a little bit.
Thank you for the call. It is kind of a shame when you've invested 9 hours, as you did in the Lord of the Rings movies, and then you walk out feeling anything less than satisfied. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's try Jake, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm not sure I agree with Jake, but let's hear what he's got to say. You're on the air. Go ahead.
How's it going, fellas? Lisa May.
What's the scene that ruined a movie for you, Jake?
Boogie Nights when Mark Wahlberg pulled out his little man at the end.
But that's the whole movie's about his giant manhood.
Dude, he could have gone a lot better without that.
were you just scared? It was just a homophobic reaction for you?
Nah, not homophobic or anything like that, but it's just like, really, dude, you really want to pull that out at this time after you're a cokehead and you can't get it up anymore?
But there's never been a movie where it made more sense for a guy to take his thing out, ever.
Understandable, but come on, really? You really?
Yes, really.
Great moment in that film.
You are dismissed.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Josh, line 3. I think Ralph hit it right on the head. He wondered why he was feeling tingly during that scene.
Exactly.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Josh. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Lisa May.
Hello.
My movie is Basketball. When the guys are making up at the end, and they just make out massively.
That's what killed that movie for you?
That's what killed that movie for me. I went from laughing, like, hysterically, to dry heaving uncontrollably.
Dude, that movie blows, though.
It's bad. Totally. It was hilarious.
Oh, it's awful.
Also, dude. Josh, that scene, I think, was supposed to revolt people. That was kind of the point.
And it did its job.
Okay.
You know what scene ruined Basketball for me? Is like the first scene after the opening credits, and then at the end there, before the closing credits, that one scene ruined the movie for me. That 2-hour scene.
95-minute scene, right?
Yeah. God,
thank you for the call.
Movie.
Speaking of endings, by the way, tell me what you guys think about Mina. Save this one for the topic, B. No Country for Old Men was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my life up until the very last scene. It didn't do it justice and was extremely anticlimactic.
With Tommy Lee at the table?
She's wrong.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
I know that it confused a lot of people at the time.
Oh, but him describing horrible. His dream kind of wrapped up the whole movie.
Exactly.
It just went over her head. She's dumb. She should die.
Jim writes in from Delaware, listening to Kevin and Bean online. I love the movie Borat. Great movie quotes, great comedy, but the male nudity made it too weird for me. Why did they have to show the fat man naked?
No,
you know, you're watching it with your people, then the scene comes on and it gets really, really awkward.
Yes, that's
the beauty of that.
I was laughing so hard.
I'm so tired of guys who are afraid of, of penises.
That was the funniest scene in the movie, right?
A big point about Borat and Bruno is him making people feel uncomfortable.
That's the
whole purpose of the movie.
And pushing that to the nth degree with that sequence. It's like in your face, and it just makes, it's supposed to make you just cringe and laugh hysterically at the same time.
All right.
Speaking of penises, can we talk to Mike on line number 7?
Sure. Yeah, let's do Mike.
Since we're in a penis-themed moment here during the break.
I've got Mike on 6, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mike.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, man. Watchmen. A blue penis.
Well, he was naked.
No, but
he's blue. I mean,
in a couple of scenes, he had like some bikini underwear, speedies, or something like that. I mean, thank God when he was giant, you know, they dressed him in underwear. But usually, when he was just a human, he had his thing flopping around all over the place.
I think we've uncovered something else going on here besides scenes you don't like.
Penis
I'll tell you that.
Fear,
fear of penis.
But
exactly.
if he's supposed to be naked, Mike, why not show his penis?
He does not need to be showing his fallacy all over the place. I get it. He's blue all over.
Right?
I understand. Let the imagination go wild. They don't need to show everybody. I mean, when they're over there Vietnam, they're over there, the superhero sighted with America or whatever it was, and he was blowing those guys up. Imagine how scared they must have thought. Vietnamese seen this big, giant blue schlong blowing them up.
Mike, we all have one, Mike. What's the big problem?
Yo, you got a blue schlong, bro?
No, we all have schlongs.
Thank you for the call, Mike. Let's take one more. I want to get Jewel on. She's from line 5, calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jewel, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Hey, boys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
The movie that ruined it for me, and I'm a diehard pirate fan, would be the third one at World's End, where Jack Sparrow is in Davy Jones' locker. He's hallucinating about seeing 10 different Jack Sparrows, really. If you're in Davy Jones' locker hallucinating, wouldn't you hallucinate about 10 different wenches with big boobs?
Well, I think you would like to, but because it's sort of purgatory or hell for Jack, he's kind of stuck talking to himself.
Exactly. But it ruined it.
Ruined it.
Exactly. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Bell writes in, how could that segment about bad scenes and good movies go so wrong? Maybe it should have been called How Penises Ruin Movies Right from the Start. Yeah, we did kind of uncover that was the theme for a lot of people. That was a good movie until the guy pulled his thing out.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ask a flight attendant in about 20 minutes. Ralph's got another look at the showbiz beat coming up. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Spencer Pratt from the Hills to the show.
Yeah. I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear it, no man.
What's up? Right. I'm so happy right now, and I know Lisa joins me in this, because I'm looking at your big fame clock, and it's at 1459. Oh, you are so close to being gone.
It's funny you should say that. It's, Andy Warhol was talking about 15 minutes of fame. Right. I got a lifetime, baby doll. You know, I'm just happy to be here, Linda. Look at my eyes.
Lisa.
I was on my way to Kitson, picked up a couple pair of jeans and some weapons-grade plutonium. Now I'm here to lighten up the radio airwaves. You know what I'm talking about?
What's that?
You're all Cheerios. I'm SpaghettiOs. Stop it.
Here's what sources are saying, Spencer, and I want this so badly to be true, and I believe that it is. Spencer Pratt is leaving the Hills for 6 weeks because he was asked to. He got so crazy that he screamed at a publicist on the set, "I should kill you for even asking me to do that."
That's a lie.
It sounds exactly like something he would say.
Why? Why do you say that?
Because you think you're such a big deal that if anybody even suggests something you think is below them, you would go crazy.
All right, calm down, Dr. Laura. Okay, I have complete control of my emotions. I've never lost control. When I
really?
Was, be it Audrina, my beautiful Aryan queen Heidi, or Lauren giving me crap on the Hills, you never saw me really lose control of my emotions.
Bean, doesn't
you never
the saw story me lose say my that temper. He actually tried to choke her?
I didn't see that.
For one thing, as a
threatened to kill her, though.
As
I mean, that's enough.
Master, as a nunchuck master, and as the president of the Providence chapter of Mensa.
What?
You're not, and that doesn't have anything to do with anything. That's not true.
It insults my intelligence as a scientist, and it insults my humanity as the Prince of Bhutan.
The producer was rattled by Pratt's behavior, filed a complaint with the network MTV, who were apparently ready to fire him completely, but he went into damage control mode, worked out a deal with the show to leave for 6 weeks for anger management training. What's that about, Spencer?
They're just saying that in the press. In actuality, I've just got too much going on.
I don't think you have anything going on. Your wife fired you. You're not managing her anymore. What else are you doing?
Ending the Rwandan genocide.
I doubt that.
Putting out the Chicago Fire.
I think that was done already.
And it's a soccer team.
Playing bass for Johnny Paycheck.
He's dead. What are you talking about?
I'm Uncle Jesse.
You're not Uncle Jesse. You were never on that show either. Spencer, you don't do anything. You sit around and make up stuff about how great you are and how busy you are, when in reality, you get fired from a show where you don't have to do anything except eat in expensive restaurants.
You know,
are you crying?
I considered us friends.
Are you crying, Spencer?
You know, when I came up with the recipe for Clamato...
That wasn't you either. You're lying about that as well.
I earned a little bit more respect than this. And I've said it before that I've never really lost my temper.
Right.
And, you know, I think you guys should take my word for it because we're buds, you know?
Nope.
I don't think we're buds.
You're a stupid bitch! I should tear your head off!
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Calm down! 106.7 KROQ. It's 7:51. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Right on the other side of that glass, Ralph, is Virgin America flight attendant Nicole with a K.
Going
to be joining us for Ask a Flight Attendant coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a pretty good deal right there.
I got to tell you,
I fly a lot. Never see Nicole on my flight, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're not flying Virgin, that's why.
I need to start flying Virgin exclusively now that I've met Nicole. All right, that's coming up. Your chance to ask those questions you've always wanted to know of a flight attendant in the next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, an update on last night's Dancing with the Stars. Did Buzz Aldrin survive his first dance? We'll tell you next hour.
It's Ralph Buzz Armstrong, by the way.
Yeah, let's get the name right, for God's sake. He's a hero.
Right, exactly.
I think Lisa had a stroke.
Something's going on.
Kevin, no, she didn't.
Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz beat, I've got some tickets to give away. This is very exciting. I can't wait for Clash of the Titans. I've been looking forward to this movie for a long time now. Sam Worthington, of course, from Avatar and from Terminator Salvation, stars as Perseus in this film. It is. I'm a big fan of all the mythology, all the Greek mythos of Mount Olympus and all those guys. I'm a big fan of that stuff. I love the original.
I think there's nothing gay about it.
I've got tickets to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans. If you'd like to go, the first five callers who can answer my trivia question correctly get to go. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Here's the question. Great cast. Sam Worthington is Perseus, as I mentioned. Liam Neeson plays Zeus. Danny Houston plays Poseidon. Who was the third brother of the Greek gods who took over the world with Zeus and Poseidon? He was the god of the underworld, to give you a hint. If you know his name, played by Ralph Fiennes in this movie, call now. 1-800- What? 1-800
Stroke number two.
It's contagious. 520-1067 is the number to call right now for tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans. I can't wait. Liam Gallagher is a douchebag.
Yeah.
Why?
Did an interview with Contact Music this week, and for some reason just started just teeing off on U2.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Time out. There's no possibility Lisa knows who she is thinking about the same person that Liam Gallagher. Like, she's thinking about
it's
a completely different person.
It's true that I thought of Liam Neeson at first.
Okay.
And then I realized we were talking about Oasis.
All right.
All right. She knows.
I apologize.
Liam Stroke Gallagher, talking about U2, said, with all the money they've made, they've just bought a load of people. Every time they do a gig, they pile them into buses and get them to the venue to make them look good.
Oh, for God's sake.
He's saying they pay the people to show up to their shows.
Because otherwise people wouldn't.
I've never seen a U2 fan, he says. I've never seen anyone with a U2 shirt or been around someone's house that has an effing U2 record. Where do these fans come from?
What is he talking about?
The reason U2 sells out the Rose Bowl every time they play it is because they are extremely popular and they've built up a genuine fan base over the last 25 years.
Nope.
It's hard to make money when you're paying everyone to show up at the Rose Bowl. I wonder how
they
do that.
They've got so much money, Lisa, that they can pay everyone.
Huh.
That's how they roll. That's just sad. Comic book movie news. You know I love comic books. You know I love movies. Captain America. It's official. Chris Evans has accepted the deal. He will be the Star-Spangled Shield Slinger.
All right.
For at least three movies. First, Avenger Captain America will be the first. He'll also do a second Captain America movie and the Avengers movie, which features Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, and the Hulk.
I can't tolerate it.
All together in the same movie.
Watch that, you stupid asshole.
Wow. I'm not sure what that woman said, but she sounded upset. So, congratulations, Chris Evans. You are the new Captain America.
That's a payday right there, by the way. When he signs on that dotted line, he's pretty much set for life.
Mm-hmm. More cartoon movie news. Popeye is going to be getting the next big budget, big screen version. Popeye, of course, the legendary sailor man who would eat his spinach and fight to the finish.
That's right.
Bad rhyme, by the way.
Yeah. I fight to the finish because I eats me spinach.
Yeah.
That's a bad rhyme.
That's
right?
Durst-esque.
He will be a big 3D motion picture brought to you by the people who brought you Spider-Man. Sony Pictures announces Popeye the movie. Does anyone care?
I don't see why they would.
3D, man. It's all 3D.
Remember Popeye had the giant forearms?
Yeah. Wasteful.
And one eye was
he's
jammed
an attractive
shut.
Man.
He was like blind
don't get
in one
me
eye.
Wrong.
And he was like, and he chose to talk like that?
Yeah.
Well, we actually have some tape of Popeye's last visit to the doctor.
Uh-oh.
Apparently he had no idea what was going on.
Sir, I think you should know these growths on your forearms. They're giant tumors.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't realized this is not how a human being is supposed to look. And the speech thing and what you're doing with your eye? You had a stroke about 7 years ago. That you've managed to be walking around all this time is nothing short of a miracle. I'd say about 2 months.
Oh, it's only got 2 months.
Poor Pop.
Get that movie into production.
Yeah. That's from Family Guy, of course.
It's hilarious.
And Dakota Fanning is apologizing to her young fans for her girl-on-girl kiss in the new movie, The Runaways. She, of course plays a Sheree Curry.
Hey, wait a minute with the apologies. That's so fast.
To Kristen Stewart's Joan Jett.
Oh, my God. Really?
She's hoping that her diehard fans don't get too upset over the same-sex kiss. She's apologizing, but she says she's simply playing a part. And as an actress, she's going to do different things that have nothing to do with real life or things she would never do in real life.
Is she getting crap about this?
Well, she's just 16, and I guess there's some static.
But didn't she do a rape movie like 2 years ago? This seems like nothing compared to that.
Rape movie.
Yeah. Remember?
Yeah, I think it was called Rape the Movie.
Rape.
In 3D.
In the movie, yeah.
Yeah, but look, you know, it's provocative.
And DNN is telling me that the that movie never got picked up for distribution.
Oh, really? So no one's ever seen the Rape movie?
Yeah, Rape movie just sits on the shelves.
Rape the movie hasn't gone directly to DVD yet.
I'm waiting for the musical.
And casting is complete for Transformers 3. Michael Bay says Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox will be back for the third in the series.
Great.
And they've also added Frances McDormand. She's going to be in the movie. John Malkovich.
Wow.
Will be in the film. And the Hangover's Dr. Ken Young. He's going to be in the movie.
Hey!
Dr. Ken's funny.
He's awesome.
So apparently they're going to do Transformers. How could they not do Transformers 3?
Of course.
Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, the second one. It was the biggest box office money-making film last year. Made over $402 million last year. So.
Is there any chance, even with these great new casting additions, that Transformers 3 will be good?
Yes.
Yes, the newest Autobot's going to be a Ferrari. Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
Way sweet. I think that it was critically destroyed so much that even Michael Bay, and by adding John Malkovich and Frances McDormand, there's a chance that he could go a whole new route and make this one actually good.
All right.
And concentrate on script.
Thanks for that opinion. Let's move on to the answer to my trivia question, shall we?
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's talk to Carl, shall we?
Are you hot?
Carl?
Yes.
Hades. Hades was the Greek god of the underworld. You're absolutely right. Ralph Fiennes plays him in the new Clash of the Titans movie. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to the red carpet world premiere of Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah!
Carl's very excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be in 3D, man. I can't wait. Release the Kraken!
I've never seen a movie in 3D.
Release the Kraken! Which is what I say every time I unzip my pants.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Release the Kraken! Today's celebrity birthdays. Rick Ocasek of The Cars is 61 years old today. Singer Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Is 57 years old. Catherine Keener turns 51.
Let me interrupt you there. Strongly worded complaint email about me giving a bell to Catherine Keener. I need a judgment from the room.
I think yes.
She's way hot.
Way hot, right?
She's 51 and she's spectacularly sexy.
I think so too.
She's 51 years old. You watch 40-year-old Virgin when she's in her bra. You tell me she's not
sexy.
A hottie.
Sexy.
You are overruled, listener. Sorry.
Even in Where the Wild Things Are. I wanted to do her.
Yeah, she looked good.
She was the mom in that.
All right. Yeah.
Richard Grieco.
There
45
it is.
Years
I
old.
I want to do him.
Also hot. Damon Albarn of Blur and Gorillaz is 42 years old today. And Kerry Russell, who was Felicity. And she was also Felicity. And she did Felicity. She is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And not just because Omar's intro is so awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to ask a flight attendant.
You travel around the world. We have so many questions. A fat dude, what do you do? I just want to ask a flight attendant.
We're gonna ask you.
Gonna ask you questions, baby. Gonna ask you questions, baby. I just want to ask a flight attendant.
Okay, that's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole, with a K, is a Virgin America flight attendant. You'll see her tomorrow night on Fly Girls on the CW at 9. Nicole joins us.
Hello.
Woo!
Good morning.
Hi, Nicole with a K. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
Welcome your parents aboard, give you that name, or is that just your dancing name, the Nicole with a K? Tell me
yes,
about that.
That's my pole dancing name.
Oh, okay.
No, that's my real name.
You are, for reals, though, a Virgin America flight attendant. You're not some model/actress that they cast to play one on a faux reality TV show, right?
No, we were all Virgin America flight attendants for over 2 years before we even got the casting call for this.
Wow. So what's the deal? What's the deal on the show? It's, tell me what we're going to see.
You're going to see five girls from all different lifestyles. We have a single mom. We have me, the crazy drama queen. We've got a quiet Marilyn Monroe lookalike. We've got the babyface Mandy. And we all just happen to work for an airline, the greatest domestic airline, Virgin America. So it follows us in the air and on the ground.
It sounds awesome. Now, we're going to take some calls from our listeners who have questions for flight attendants. And I hope you are prepared because most people
don't love flying anymore. I mean, I'm sure that you get a lot of grief from a lot of people in and out of the air with how difficult
it is.
Well,
I'm lucky because everybody loves flying Virgin America.
Virgin is great. We flew Virgin to New York, and it is, if you're going to fly,
if you're going to fly domestic and you're going to fly to one of the 10 cities we fly to, fly Virgin America for sure.
It does. It definitely helps.
I'm not getting paid to add my endorsement to that.
I heard you're an Alaska man, so.
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to mention any other airlines because they may or may not be proud sponsors of the Kevin and Bean Show. I have been flying a different carrier for a long time, but your free Wi-Fi got me to switch to Virgin,
yes.
And I do love it. I will tell you that if Lisa's right, if you have to fly, Virgin is the way to go.
Yep, you can Facebook, Twitter, text, work the whole time.
That doesn't make it any easier, though, with all – I mean, there's so many crazy restrictions in the air that people, I'm sure, ask about all the time. What is the deal, by the way, with how you can have computers capable of flying a 747 across country, yet you can't use a cell phone? What is the deal with that?
You can actually use a cell phone. We just don't allow it.
Thank you. Please don't let people start talking on their cell phones on their planes.
The FAA, I don't believe they haven't approved that yet. They just don't want people talking on that phone.
Be a nightmare.
But I did. I was in first class working, and I heard a guy go, "Mom, can you pick up my dry cleaning?" And I walked by. I thought, that is so weird. And I realized that he was Skyping on the plane, asking his mom to pick up his dry clean. I was like, yo, you can't do that. Disconnect, man.
Because you're not allowed to use anything that transmits. Basically, that's what they say.
Correct. So no transmitting signals or Bluetooth.
Okay, how come you have to put, if you're just listening to an iPod with headphones, no transmission, how come you have to take that off for takeoff and landing? What's the deal? I mean, how can an iPod, in any way interfere with the plane's delivery?
Takeoff and landing are the most crucial phases of flight, so we just want your attention. That's it.
I see.
It really has nothing to do with anything else, but that we want you aware of what's going on.
Okay, that makes sense.
What has the Virgin America policy been, and did it change at all after the highly publicized Kevin Smith getting booted from Southwest Airlines for being too fat?
About that in the magazines, my favorite reality gossip magazines. But I don't really know what happened to him because I wasn't there. But we love
what happens
all
on
guests.
Your flight. I mean, you must have passengers that get on that you got to have concerns about from a safety standpoint, right?
No, I love all our guests. They can buy one seat, they can buy four seats, they can buy as many seats as they want. We have people who buy seats for their animals, so.
Is there such thing, though, as too fat to fly if somebody gets in a seat and they are just spilling over? I mean, do you deal with that on your flights at all?
No, that's what a seatbelt extender is for.
Wow.
But what about the people that sit next to them and get all smushed?
That's life.
I have a quick question about filming in an airplane. How in the world? I mean, it's such cramped quarters. How did they do that?
They did a great job. They stayed mainly in the back of the plane and used those long lenses. We had microphones on us, and the guests were really cool. They were really, half the time they were watching TV, so they didn't realize they were there.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Nicole, why'd you want to be a flight attendant?
Oh, gosh, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Ever since I was a little girl, I wanted to be a flight attendant. I grew up watching them on TV, just like those famous movie stars. And I thought that they were gorgeous and strong. And they were the kind of women that got up and went to work on their own. It seemed like they did everything very independently. And I wanted to be like them. I was raised by a single mother, so I guess I kind of wanted a career that I could just do on my own. Like, I didn't need any man or a husband or...
I understand the draw of the travel. I understand, hey, it's awesome that tomorrow I'll be in New York for free. But it's not a very glamorous job to do day to day, is it? It seems like it's an awful lot of minutiae that you have to keep track of, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of, dealing with the public, which can't be fun every day.
Yeah, trapped with the public.
Picking up trash is not glamorous, but shopping in New York is. So I take the trade.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take your calls if you want to ask a flight attendant. Nicole is here, Virgin America flight attendant. The show is called Fly Girls. It airs tomorrow night for the first time. It premieres at 9 on the CW. Let's hear Omar's intro one more time and take a call before the break, shall we?
You travel around the world. We have so many questions for you. People have sex. A fat dude, what do you do? I just want to ask a flight attendant.
Let's squeeze in
Joshua real quick, and then we'll come back with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Joshua is online, too. You are on with Nicole with a K, Virgin America flight attendant from Fly Girls on the CW. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Bean.
Hi, Josh.
Nicole and Lisa.
Hello.
I have a question. I was watching a movie last night about Commando, and you know how the part when he kills that guy?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's a long, long way to wherever they're going. What do they actually do when that happens in real life?
Wait, when a commando kills
what
a guy
do I do
in
when I'm in the army fighting?
No. I think his question is, what do you do if someone does die in flight?
Yeah, like, what do you guys do when that happens, like, when a person actually dies in the plane?
I don't know.
Do they still get their miles, for instance?
Of course they do. No, you call for medical assistance, and we have MedLink. So you get doctors on board, or you get doctors assisting you, and we don't, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I just help the person hold their hand, and we land the plane as quickly as possible. That's all.
I mean, I don't know what you were expecting her to say. They don't throw them out.
Don't worry, Josh. I'll hold your hand if you get sick.
Cover them with a blanket. Wait till you land.
You don't tell anybody.
I don't know. I've only had people usually hung over from Vegas, so.
You haven't had anyone have a heart attack or anything like that?
I have not. No.
As a flight attendant, you also get a certain amount of basic CPR training too, though, right?
We do. We go through a very intense safety and training. We have to be approved by the FAA. We have to follow all the guidelines. But again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just there to assist.
No, of course.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Your job is unlike a lot of others in that you learn so much stuff in training for worst case scenarios, like in the event of a crash or in the event of a water landing or something like that. Things that you have to know how to do and are probably tested on. But your whole career, you will almost certainly never have to use any of it, right?
Yeah. The day of graduation, I was like shaking from all the stuff that I had learned to prepare for. I was like, do I really want to get on the plane? Oh, I don't know what to do. But you're right. We don't use any of it.
I was curious if captains try to hit on you guys all the time. Because it's, I mean, you guys are in close quarters a lot. And that's a job where there's a lot of attractive women involved. Mm-hmm. Are they as perverted as they seem when they get on that microphone and tell me about my flight?
You know, I think any job you go to, coworkers tend to flirt with each other.
Yeah.
It's just human nature.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to deal with it all the time.
Yes. I know. I mean, they pick up on you all day here, right?
Totally.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. If you have a question for Nicole, it's your chance to ask a flight attendant. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Too much yelling! It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It's 825. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's the return of the band Hole. That's Courtney Love and some hired hands. She's calling them Hole. The song is Skinny Little Bitch. We'll play that for you coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of skinny little bitches, the beautiful Nicole is in the studio.
Oh, thank you. I wish.
She is a Virgin America flight attendant. The show is called Fly Girls, premiering tomorrow night on the CW. Nicole, for folks who haven't been to the website yet, and I recommend you go, kind of look, Mike, am I right about this? Kind of has a Minka Kelly vibe.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit of a Minka Kelly look, which is maybe the best compliment I can give a woman.
Aw, thank you.
All right, we're taking your calls. If you want to ask a flight attendant, 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear from Omar, shall we? Mercifully, the short version.
Thank God.
Let's try Leroy, line 5, please, calling Nicole. He wants to ask a flight attendant. Leroy, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, Kevin Bean. Lisa.
Hi, Leroy.
Hey. I wanted to know, what do you do when you catch people trying to join the Mile High Club?
Let's see. From the stories I've heard, we do absolutely nothing. There's no way I want to open that door and find out what's going on. Yeah. I think they just say, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, we'll be right out. So, if you can fit in those tiny bathrooms with another person, go for it.
Thank you for the call. The only time I've ever been on a plane where I was aware that somebody was in the Mile High Club, they did not go into the restroom. They were right in their seats.
Wow.
Doing it in their seats. It was super, super late night flight from Las Vegas, and they were under a blanket back in the days when there were blankets on
planes.
It's
like two kids in a movie theater, huh?
Right.
Exactly.
I got a quick question. Since you guys walk up and down the aisles with those carts, what happens when you guys have to fart? Do you ever just crop dust the entire plane? I'm being serious because a lot of times I really feel like the flight attendants are crop dusting and they're not saying anything, and then I'm stuck with the blame, you know?
Why would you take something as beautiful as a Virgin America flight attendant and turn it ugly like that?
Nicole, tell me you haven't crop dusted.
I don't know. Maybe those boys do, but probably not us girls.
You've never crop dusted.
I have no comment.
Please ask that question.
Let's try Chris. He's on line 7 calling the Kevin and Bean Show today. I'm sure he has a question that you hear all the time, Nicole, but let's get it out there for everybody else. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. How are you?
Good.
Good. Quick question. I know I've seen it a lot in the movies. I want to know if it's true in real life. If, say, you're sitting in coach or second class, sometimes they'll invite you up into first class. Is there something that you can do to make you stand out that can get you invited into first class?
The only thing you can do on Virgin America is be in uniform. So we invite all our military and uniformed.
That's very cool.
Yeah, we do. If they're in uniform, Navy, you know, whatever it is, Army, they can sit in first class.
But
if
for,
there's
a civilian,
an open scene.
For a civilian, it's pretty
difficult
to get
the upgrade,
right?
For a civilian, you got to whip out that gorgeous credit card.
Thank you for the call. Hey, we're going to take more calls at 1-800-520-1067. Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask you this about the reality of a flight attendant. I'm sure people all the time ask you what it's like as a job. Is the pay pretty good, and how are the hours?
We work a lot and we play a lot. So the fact that we can travel to, say, Seattle, like where you are, spend the day walking around the city, get to have a hotel for free, you can't exchange that for any price of money. So the life that we're allowed to live by being a flight attendant is priceless.
What's the worst part about your job?
Oh, the worst part about my job, probably the lack of sleep that I get because I'm having so much fun on my layovers.
We're going to see some of that on the new CW show. It is called Fly Girls, premiering tomorrow night at 9. We've got time for one more round of calls. If you want to talk to Nicole with a K, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's back. Skinny little bitch. That's new from Hole on 106.7 KROQ. It's 836. Latest from Courtney Love and Hole here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to Ask a Flight Attendant. Nicole with a K is here. Time to take some more calls for her. If you've always had questions about either the job or why things are the way they are in flying and what crazy things they've seen, 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
You travel around the world. We have so many questions for you. People have sex. A fat dude, what do you do?
We're gonna ask you questions, baby. Nicole with a K is a Virgin America flight attendant. The show is called Fly Girls. It airs tomorrow night for the first time on the CW at 9. By the way, it's going to be very weird for you starting Thursday at work when people start to recognize you from the TV show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll just be happy instead of hey you or hey miss, they can just go Nicole. And I was like,
right. Yes. We're going to get right back to the calls. You were telling us something fascinating during that last song, by the way, which really shocked me, and that's that, because Virgin America, which is an awesome airline, it's like air travel 2.0 if you haven't flown on it yet. Everything is like so futuristic almost. You got those private little entertainment centers at each seat, and somebody was asking you about what you're allowed to watch because you've got other passengers nearby. You're telling me that somebody can watch porn on a plane if they want?
Well, we have all different types of movies, so we have R-rated, PG-13, PG, and if you pay at your seat, you're allowed to order whatever movie's showing. We do have parental controls, so for all the children on the plane, we can set parental controls, which means they wouldn't be able to watch any of that stuff. But, you know, if you have your laptop with you, you can watch pretty much what you want to watch on your laptop.
And if complaints from other passengers, though, if somebody were to do that, I would imagine.
I think most people like that in their private time. So I think most people save that. But if you needed to check something out, yeah, you could, I guess.
I have a quick question.
Maybe you missed your wife at home and she made you a little something-something.
Yeah, good call. Good call. I have a quick question that doesn't involve sex or farts.
Thank God.
You get a lot of access, a lot of easy access to planes. How deeply do they investigate your past before you become a flight attendant? Can you have felonies and stuff like that?
We did do a full background check. All I know is that I was approved. I have no idea what they found.
All right. On that topic, let me ask one more thing, and then we'll go to the phones. Do flight attendants know which passengers are the air marshals?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah. We have to know if there's anyone on board with
that
type. Correct.
You need to know, right?
The flight deck knows, of course, yeah.
Okay. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Josh. He is calling on line 1 for the beautiful and lovely Nicole with a K, Virgin America flight attendant. Josh, your chance to ask a flight attendant. Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Nicole, if you've ever hooked up with a passenger, whether after a flight or you saw someone attractive, if you've ever made a move or a guy's made a move on you.
I've gotten plenty of napkin invitations, yes. Guys love to write, will you call me, on their little napkins. Yeah, I meet great people all the time, so there's been a couple of nice people that I've met.
Really? Do you have a policy that you won't date a passenger, or are you kind of open for it?
When I first started working, I had no policy, and then I went on a couple of dates, and now I do.
Oh, no. So those guys ruined it for the rest of us, basically, is
what
you're saying.
They ruined it. I went out, and I found myself a man. I was like, no more dating on planes. I'm getting a boyfriend.
All right. Thank you for the call, Josh. Let's try Tony, line two, please. Ask a flight attendant. You're on the air. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi. This is probably a pretty common question that you get, Nicole. Have you ever had to deal with snakes or Samuel L. Jackson on your plane?
I haven't seen any snakes. I've seen some men that resembled snakes. That's about it.
What about Samuel L. Jackson?
I haven't seen him on our planes yet. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
thank you, Tony. Hey, what about celebrities? Do you see a lot of them in the course of your duty?
I've seen a few. I hear about a lot of them. We're a great airline. So
even as a professional, even as somebody who is in the service industry, it still has to be a thrill when you show up for work one day and there's Brad and Angelina sitting in first class, right? I mean, something like that's still got to kind of be fun, I would imagine.
You think it would be, but they just want to be served. They want to watch their movie. They want to enjoy their flight. So they just turn into everybody else.
Yeah.
Have you had situations where you've had somebody, I assume sitting in first class, and then the other passengers on the plane kind of wanted to get to that person to meet them or get an autograph or something?
No, we're so lucky because everyone has headphones on and they're either on their computer or they're watching live TV. I mean, Monday Night Football, who cares who's in first class? I watched the Super Bowl live in the air. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
That is pretty cool. I forgot about the live TV. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, let's try, I got a couple more questions about the job of being a flight attendant. Let's try Monica. She is on line 7, calling the Kevin DeBean Show, on with Nicole from Fly Girls on the CW. Go ahead, Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi. My daughter's a senior in high school, and she has been telling me she wants to be a flight attendant forever. So how do I get her to become a flight attendant?
To become a flight attendant, all you have to do is go on the website of the airline that you want to work for and see if they have any applications, if they're accepting. And you just fill out the application. Then you go to, usually they have like a once a month thing where they have an open interview, and she just has to be her loving, beautiful self and smile, and I'm sure she'd get hired.
Is it tremendously competitive, though, with like, a thousand people show up for every job, or how tough is it to actually be chosen, Nicole?
When I showed up to my interview, I think there was 30 of us in the room, and they ended up picking whoever they wanted. It could have been one that day, or it could have been all, 20 that day.
Oh, okay.
It's just who they thought was right for the job. And the great thing about Virgin America is they don't go off if you've been a flight attendant for 20 years. They go off your customer service skills. And that can be if you've worked at Starbucks, if you've been a corporate job, if you've been a stay-at-home mom. It's just if you're a nice person and you want to help people, they hire you.
Do they have education requirements? Do you have to be a college grad or anything?
Nope.
Wow.
I tried college, but I didn't like it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, speaking of hot flight attendants, for years, it used to be they only hired young, hot women for the job. And then people all started complaining about that and saying it was sexist and ageist and everything like that. So then they just started hiring beasts. I mean, every plane
you went on
was beasts or gay guys for the longest time. It's so true. It used to be such a disappointment because that was one of the best parts about flying. Now it seems like, thanks to Virgin America, started to go back in the other direction where we're getting rid of the old and the fat people. I just want to say thank you for that. It's a great trend that we're looking into here.
People who are amazingly beautiful on the inside, and it just shows from the outside.
That's why they're doing a show called Fly Girls about five Virgin America flight attendants, because they're beautiful on the inside, right?
We are.
that leads me to my next question. Are any of the other girls that you go back and you go and work with in your everyday job now, are they bitter that you guys got selected and they treat you bad now?
No, they're not bitter. They're not mad. I don't know who wants to be on a reality show. Honestly, that is one tough gig to sign up for. Because
now
the whole world is going to know my insecurities. The whole world is going to know how I do things poorly and how I make mistakes. I mean, I'm so far from perfect. Believe me, I wake up and I look You know, it takes a lot of work. All that makeup and that hairspray.
We're going to need to see that.
Yeah. I doubt that.
Well, you will. Just wait.
All right. So, Fly Girls tomorrow night at 9 on the CW, and it is in the air and also on the ground. It kind of gets into your personal life and going out and the interaction with the girls, the other girls, as well as in the rest of your private life, right?
Yeah, it's great. You you know, we never want to look at ourselves in the mirror, so that's what the great thing about reality is we can watch other people's lives.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm watching.
Thank
tomorrow
you.
Night. Can't wait. Nicole with a K, we love you. Thank you
Yay.
So much for coming down to the Kevin DeBean
Thank
Show.
Thank you.
Yes. 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 There it is. Famous K-Rock.
What are beef eater stares, by the way? Who's that giving me beef eater stares?
I don't know anything about what's going on in that record.
God, really?
Yeah, exactly. Offspring, Violent Femmes, Rise Against, and more straight ahead on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. You meet Nicole on the way out. Nicole with a K, Ralph. Good deal right
Met
there.
Met her. Did her.
Yeah. He did.
Me?
It's true.
Well, congratulations. Good
That's
call.
Just another stewardess on my belt, baby.
Destruction.
Don't use the S word. You know the S word is out.
You know what? That's BS, by the way. Stewardesses. Why can't they be stewardesses? What's wrong with stewardesses?
Same reason they can't be secretaries anymore. Somebody somewhere decided that it is a demeaning title.
The word stewardess inherently, there's nothing bad inherently about that word.
I know.
And the somebody somewhere that decided
stewards
that.
Stewards and stewardesses.
The somebody somewhere that decided that is probably not a flight attendant herself. I doubt they really
Probably not alive anymore. It was probably some old biddy.
And it was an ugly woman.
Who was fat. And they fired her because she couldn't get her ass off the ground in a DC-10 anymore. I miss the stews. That's when they started getting ugly, man, when they stopped being stews and started being flight attendants.
And I was right about that. For a while, it used to be the hottest chicks in the air, right? And then all of a sudden, it was beasts and gay guys, right? And now they're swinging back the other way, though.
It was mandatory. That was part of the hiring practice.
Exactly.
You had to be hot.
That's right.
That's how they rolled.
Back when America was great.
Don Draper's day.
That's right.
That's right.
And it was a guarantee that you'd bang a couple of them when you got on your plane.
They had to give it up. It was part of their job.
Yeah.
And you recall back then we had a U.S.-born president, too. Everything was better then.
That's true.
So true. Man, I wish I had a time machine. Wish I had a hot tub time machine.
None of this communist health care either.
That's right. Socialism. Bastards. All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Robert Pattinson doesn't understand why everyone thinks he's sexy. Well, we agree, Rob Pattinson. He says Edward Cullen in the Twilight series, with his plucked eyebrows and ghost white skin, make him look like a transvestite. We agree, Rob Pattinson. Just saying. Rob Pattinson says so.
I have to say that he's a lot better looking in real life. I had a chance to meet him, and he's
Stop beating me up.
Time out.
With your monus. Just give me a break.
Lisa,
you have to try the Gorgonzola pizza, although it's a commitment because it's so rich. Go F yourself. That was a conversation Mike had off the air with Lisa
May.
Between
us.
Just before we got into the live show here. Seriously. I like the Gorgonzola pizza, but it's a commitment because it's so rich.
Are you queer?
Wow.
Homosexual of the worst kind.
You are brutal.
It's top notch gay.
Well, sure you do, Lisa. It's like having a girlfriend right here in the studio with you.
Exactly.
You guys can put on your snuggies.
All I was saying.
And do pedicures. And
is that the guy?
Brothers and sisters.
I never really understood why women found him attractive on screen, but that in person, he's a good looking dude. That's all.
Are you gay?
And I want to bang him.
The rumor about Simon Monjak, who, of course, was the widower of Brittany Murphy, having a relationship with her mother.
Did he move in with her?
They moved in together. I brought this up a couple weeks ago, that they moved in together after Brittany died, giving some people pause, saying maybe there was a questionable relationship going on there. Apparently, he has come forward to sort of clear things up with the New York Post. He says he does indeed share a home with his mother-in-law, Sharon, Brittany Murphy's mom. But it's a completely platonic relationship. Here's the thing. She suffers from a disease known as toxic neuropathy, which affects the nerve endings and muscles, and she has a hard time walking and getting around. So he is close with his mother-in-law, and they live on separate floors in the same house, but he does spend time with her to help her get through her day, get around. So,
well, he sounds much nicer than I've ever thought he was.
He's doing a nice thing here.
Doing a solid, yeah.
Yeah. In exchange, she bangs him.
Yeah.
That's the deal. I think he's missing the whole point of his statement, though,
what?
Ralph, is that that's not going on.
What?
Just,
platonic. They happen to be grieving family members helping each other out.
Well, then what are you doing helping an old biddy get around if you're not getting a little on the side? You know what I'm saying?
Word up.
Lindsay Lohan. I'm sorry. Lindsay Lohan is back in the news. She has conquered her hoarding problem.
She had a hoarding problem?
She had a way big hoarding problem.
Really?
Yes. I don't know if you saw The Insider, but they did a story on her hoardingness, her hoardiosity.
You're not talking about whoring now,
no,
right?
No, hoarding.
She's still got the hoarding.
Right, she's got that. But then she had a bunch of hoarding tendencies where she would just collect stuff and couldn't get around in her house. So The Insider did a story on her, and they sent over a professional organizer and therapist to deal with her. And now, apparently, her home is organized and squeaky clean.
I have a clip from that episode of The
Great.
Insider.
The TV star caught in the middle of a dangerous herd of hippos.
I don't think that was from that episode at all.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Pat. P.O.B.
The world's smallest pregnant woman confined to a wheelchair.
I'm at the hospital with her condition today.
Did this 2-foot-tall mom give birth to a healthy baby? Were there complications?
Yes. Yes, there were complications. She's 2 feet tall. What kind of question is that?
About The Insider.
Man got hit in the head with a steel girder. Did it hurt? Yes. TV news. Miley Cyrus will be the first mentor on American Idol this season.
Oh.
Thank God she's there to give those kids all her years of experience.
Yeah.
Being a huge TV recording and film star that is completely manufactured by the Disney Corporation.
Well,
who we
she
love.
Has been
we love. They do great work.
Yeah.
They
made a great Miley.
Look, every kid on that show would like Miley Cyrus's career, but she got it by virtue of being in the right place at the right time, being handpicked by Disney, and they are a machine.
She was shaped by a series of experts who, you know, packaged her and put her in the right projects and made her career. It wasn't like she was busking outside a subway station with a guitar and they said, "What an amazing talent." She played a kid on a TV show.
Why don't they use, kind of the built-in mentors in Carrie Underwood or Chris Daughtry, people who have gone from that show?
They don't
want to
come back. They don't want to come back, those people.
They don't want to even really acknowledge those roots.
They would rather just move forward, I think, seriously.
Well, maybe true.
It's like asking the kids from The Suite Life how to run a hotel. Zach and Skippy, whatever those kids are.
That's true.
Come on, she plays a TV, you know, a recording star on TV, but seriously. All right, I'm moving on.
All right.
I'm out of time. Look at me. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Grieco.
There he is.
45 years old today. I don't even know why we know Richard Grieco.
It's because
they made fun of him in Night at the Roxbury. Is that why we still know Richard Grieco?
What about the movie where he was accidentally thought to be a spy because he got his plane ticket mixed up?
Yeah, what about that movie? He's 45 years old today. Damon Albarn of Blur and the Gorillaz is 42 years old today. I still love that Stylo song. I don't care what everybody says. I like that song.
Yeah.
Carrie Russell from Felicity's 34 years old. Catherine Keener is 51. Chaka Khan is 57 years old. And Rick Ocasek, former leader and lead singer of The Cars, is 61 years old today. One of the biggest bands in the world at one time, The Cars, and now nothing.
Mm-mm.
Not
even so much.
A hide nor hair.
Well, a couple of them died, so they kind of, they're not really happening anymore.
Bastards. Back in the good old days when there were stewardesses and the cars were on the radio, that's when we were all living large. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, a show I never cared about in, 10 seasons of Dancing with the Stars until last night when Buzz Aldrin was revealed as one of the contestants dancing at the cha-cha. 80-year-old Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon on the show last night.
My name is Buzz Aldrin. And on July 20th, 1969, I was one of the first men to walk on the moon. This last year, I was 80 years old. People may have a tendency to underestimate me, but watch out. Here I come.
So they do the introductions of all the new cast members, Lisa, and they show them getting together, meeting their partners, beginning their dance training. Here's Buzz as he meets Ashley Costa, who's going to teach him how to dance.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
Buzz Aldrin on the phone with us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Buzz, welcome back. Buzz, what's going on, dude?
Yeah, I'm Buzz. How you doing?
You are in fact Buzz Aldrin. How'd it go with Ashley Costa dancing on national TV last night?
Going great. She's a cute babe. this is going to be a treat.
It's a little, honestly. Yeah, kind of creepy to hear you talk like that, Buzz. I mean,
I'm Buzz.
What's all that noise behind you, Buzz? I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
I'm just checking out some of the dancers at this dance club.
What kind of dance club would that be?
At this time of day, what do you mean?
It's the legs and eggs special over here at Foreplay.
Oh man, you're going to strip clubs.
Yeah, I'm Buzz. I got some cute babes here.
You don't need to be in a strip club. What's that? You're a national hero.
Here I come.
No.
Stop with that.
Didn't they allow that?
I'm Buzz.
Look, what about your public image, though? You're 80. You shouldn't be doing this.
I was 80, but I think I still got some surprises for some people.
I don't like when you talk like that, Mr. Aldrich. I gotta be honest.
All right. You sound like you're a cute babe over there.
So you and Ashley.
Sweet little baby, aren't you?
Okay, please stop hitting on Lisa.
Come here and check out my lunar module.
Come on, Buzz. That's not necessary at all.
Maybe I could be the second man to walk on your moon, you know what I'm saying?
That doesn't even make any sense. No. Listen.
You're Buzz Aldrin,
I understand. So last night on the show, you and Ashley go out there and dance. You did the cha-cha. You didn't do...
I'd like to do Ashley's cha-cha.
Please stop talking like that. Here's one of the judges. I don't know which one this is, but here's one of the judges critiquing your cha-cha.
How can I possibly criticize a hero and a legend? I have to do my job. And I said, you did a cha-cha-cha. It was actually a cha-cha-cha. It looked like you still had your moon boots on.
Yeah, not an impressive dance at all, Mr. Aldrin. I'm sorry.
I don't care what that little Fruit Loop has to say. That little fruit roll-up. I'll stick my moon boot up his ass.
Okay. I don't know that you need to start fighting either. I think
I'm Buzz.
You are Buzz. Yeah. I'm a little bit worried about what this is going to do. Is this going to tarnish your image if you keep going with the way you are with the strip clubs and everything like that?
I don't care as long as I get some strange.
Okay.
Wow.
Did you see my wife last night on the show?
Yeah. Yeah, you've been married to her for 40 years.
What's up with her face?
I don't know. She's probably about your age.
Yeah. No, her face looks like a snare drum.
Oh.
She's had a little bit of the tightening surgery, as a lot of older women have. Yeah.
A little bit. But she opens her mouth, her head swings open. It's like, this is straight across. It's like a giant hinge. Head just snaps in half.
Buzz.
Hideous.
I think fewer interviews and more just...
some new pony tangy. You know what I'm saying?
Finally, the judges' scores. Your Buzz Aldrin. Yeah. The final scores on Dancing with the Stars after your dance last night.
Will the judges please reveal their scores? Carrie Ann Inaba.
5.
Len Goodman.
4.
Bruno Tognoli.
5.
So a score of 14, which was the lowest of the night, Mr. Aldrin. Looks like maybe you'll be going home next week, I think.
It's two foreigners and a broad. What do they know? I'm Buzz.
All right, Buzz. Good luck on Dancing with the Stars, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with the Kevin and Bean Show. Rob is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on, Rob?
Overnight ratings are in. From the Nielsen people regarding TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, from last
Dancing
night?
Dancing with the Stars, yeah. Dancing with the Stars had about 24 million viewers last night.
God, that's huge. I hope people understand the context of ratings where you are on a smash hit show if you've got 10 million people.
Yep. 24 million viewers tuned in for the season debut of Dancing with the Stars. You know what I think did it? You know what I think the draw was?
What? What's that?
Buzz Aldrin being all creepy about his partner, like coming on to her at 80.
She's
25. He was like sporting a stiffy when she came into the room. He was popping Viagra before she got there.
It was uncomfortable.
Here we play a little clip of Buzz coming on to his partner.
I'm Ashley Costa.
And I'm Buzz. Oh. When I first met Ashley, I thought, this is a really cute babe. This is going to be a real treat.
Yeah.
And now I'm Buzz.
I'm Buzz, yeah.
Where's Chris Hansen on this show?
I'm Buzz. This is Little Buzz.
Oh. Yeah. Look, I respect Mr. Aldrin more than anybody. I really do believe he's an American hero, and I'm forever in his debt for his bravery. But nobody has danced worse in the history of that show than Buzz Aldrin.
He was awesome.
Even for 80, he was horrible.
Yeah, he looked like Frankenstein. like the villagers were chasing him with pitchforks and torches.
It was sad.
Yeah. Speaking of ratings, Donald Trump can't be happy. Apparently, Undercover Boss
beat Celebrity Apprentice Sunday night in the ratings.
Ouch.
Mm. Yeah. Desperate Housewives had its worst ratings for a new episode in the show's history.
Wow.
Sunday night. And last night, my show Castle, my beloved Castle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat out CSI Miami.
Whoa. So, wow.
Glad to see that.
What is...
so good last night.
What does David Crusoe have to say about that?
Yeah! Ralph, I was out last week. I was on vacation. Did you guys talk about Ryan Seacrest screwing the pooch on American Idol by revealing the results before the show aired? Most of the
guys tweeted them 17 minutes early.
How about that?
Yeah, that was hunky.
And they had the lowest regular season episode ever of American Idol that night.
Really? Well, this year blows. That's why.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying. Yeah, you're right. That has something to do with it too. But it can't have helped that a significant number of people knew the winner or the person who was deleted.
Yeah, apparently about 17 minutes before it was announced, he had already tweeted it saying, "Tune into my syndicated radio show and watch me talk to Joe Schmo, who got voted off."
Oops.
Speaking of that show, it's been announced that the first mentor of the season, you know, the mentor comes along, the longtime music professional comes along and brings along these young kids, teaching them
to impart wisdom,
teaching them the ropes, how to do it right. You know, someone, you know, with a long pedigree of musical success will come
gone
along
through the hard knocks,
teach the kids how to perform in front of a live audience, how to pick up the pace, how to sell a song.
Mm-hmm.
Their mentor, the first mentor this year, will be Miley Cyrus.
Of course.
That wizened old vet. She's going to come along and give them what's for on how to become a star. So,
Buzz Aldrin, have you met Miss Cyrus?
Yeah. Hello, Miley. I'm Buzz. Want to get an Apollo 13 in my pants?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know what that means.
Touch me. I'm going to scream.
I did see Miley Cyrus in 3D on my TV.
Oh, yeah?
I saw her concert.
Yeah.
And I used the old-fashioned regular 3D glasses. I didn't go out and get the special ones.
How'd that work for you there?
And the regular 3D glasses actually worked.
Did
it was really good. She was like, she was on my lap. She was like singing on my lap.
Wow.
And she's hosting, I guess, the award, the Teen Awards.
Sorry, what now? Come on, Rodney.
What was that?
How about the horrors?
Yeah, come on. Apparently, Joe Jonas and Demi Lovato will also perform on Ice this week. So we got to... it's just a Tina Palooza over there.
Yeah. Oh, some teenagers.
I picked a good year to stop watching. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe there'll be a Carcella next year.
There's no Carcella. It's Coachella. It's still coming up, by the way. Eli Roth, director and star of Inglourious Basterds, has a new girlfriend. Apparently, according to Star Magazine, he is dating 21-year-old Peaches Geldof. Is that
Yeah,
name
there it is.
Familiar? Peaches Geldof?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Daughter of Bob Geldof. Sir Bob, the man who brought us We Are the World.
Yeah.
Not We Are the World. What was his?
Do They Know It's Christmas?
Do They Know It's Christmas, yeah. The famine aid for Africa. She is a model and apparently a London party girl, and Eli Roth is now dating her. I haven't seen Peaches, but I'm assuming she's rather attractive. Because he doesn't
That's
strike
the crazy,
me as the kind of
guy. The crazy family with Tiger Lily, and they got all the honked up names in that family, right?
Right. And then the mom went on to marry the NXS guy, right?
That's
Michael
Hutchins. Right. Yeah.
Michael Hutchins.
How's that honked up family?
This Sandra Bullock, Jesse James story just keeps getting more and more sordid. Michelle Bombshell McGee, the heavily tatted model who sold her story to In Touch magazine about having an affair with Jesse James behind Sandra Bullock's...
It was kind of weird, but she was a fun weird.
Behind Sandra Bullock's back for $30,000. She's now looking to make even more money. According to a source from In Touch magazine, she is willing to reveal X-rated photographs of the two of them together, text messages, and intimate details about their time in bed together for another $100,000 if someone's going to pony up. So, if you've got 100 grand, you want to hear Kiss and Tell Part 2, as she's calling it, she is willing to sell.
Circus freak.
What happened to good old days when mistresses would just shut the F up?
It's a great question.
Yes. Kiss, kiss. Kiss bang, kiss. Bang, bang, bang.
That's right.
That's right.
Bang, 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 bang. Reese Witherspoon's got a new boyfriend. He apparently was also her groom and stable keeper when she was in the barn. No, I'm sorry. It's not true.
What?
Because she's horsey. That's why.
Okay.
Jim Toth is his name. He's an agent, and apparently they are hot and heavy. Us Weekly magazine's got photos of the two of them hanging out.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Ojai, California. That's where the two of them were. And so Reese has a new trainer. She's a little horsey is all I'm saying.
She has a round face, but I wouldn't call her horsey.
She's horsey.
Big balloon head.
Open cans with that chin.
Yeah.
The chin. That's the
rough
part.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's the chin, yeah.
Well, that's not all it is, but it's a big
She's pretty other than the chin. I think the chin is the only distraction. Everything else is pretty good on her.
Pretty rough, but she's pretty. And Popeye is going to be a new cartoon. According to Sony Pictures, they're going to do a big screen, big version 3D Popeye movie.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
All right, one at a time.
Let's just one person pick
any
the
way
clips
to signal
play.
Each other or something.
Don't forget Monday. Tonight is Gossip Girl night.
It's not Monday. Tuesday. Popeye's getting the 3D treatment, apparently, according to Sony. All of the characters will be back. His girlfriend, Olive Oil, Sweet Pea.
Wow.
Adopted child, Wimpy, his buddy who loves hamburgers, and his arch nemesis, Bluto. Mike asked me earlier if Brutus was the same thing as Bluto, and it is. Apparently, they changed his name. Doc corrected me. Brutus was after Bluto. Bluto was first.
So well, that's certainly important information.
It certainly is.
You're wrong. You can tell Mike, Brutus came after Bluto.
Drama queen.
And it is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs in stores today. The Runaways original motion picture soundtrack.
Gotta check that out.
It's available today. Of course, The Runaways movie's now in theaters. Opens wider in a couple of weeks. The new Justin Bieber CD.
Giddy up.
My World 2.0 is available.
Yeah.
Check that
His first
out.
Album, by the way. Is that
What?
Shocking? Yeah.
How did he get to be famous without having an album out?
Little EP. Just put out an EP with a few songs on it. But this is the actual first official album that's coming out from Justin Bieber. He's already one of the biggest stars in music. It's crazy.
New Scorpions CD.
Woo!
Sting in the Tail, it's called. You can check that out. New DVDs. The Fantastic Mr. Fox animated film with George Clooney and Meryl Streep. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Speaking of George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats is available today. Brothers with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire is also available today. Free Willy, Escape from Pirate's Cove, the sequel.
I don't even like know what that is.
It's a DVD, sequel right? to Free Willy starring Bindi Irwin. You can check that
no.
out.
Bindi?
Wow.
And The Blind Side. Sandra Bullock's award-winning performance is captured in The Blind Side. Say she got blindsided by Bombshell McGee.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
You're so gay.
Hey, come on. Mad Men Season 3 with Jon Hamm is available today as well. And the Prisoner miniseries from Sci-Fi, I believe that was on, with Jim Caviezel. Also available today. Today's celebrity birthday is Rick Ocasek from Cars. He's 61. Singer Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Celebrates her 57th birthday. Katherine Keener is 51. Richard Grieco celebrates his 45th birthday. Damon Albarn of Blur and Gorillaz is 42. And Kerry Russell from Felicity fame is 34. My name is Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I can dig it.
Thank you.
So glad you dig me.
How about another all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow? What if I were to tell you that Joe Rogan will be here?
Ah, love
what?
Joe. He's the best.
He's so good.
He's always great. Always looking forward to that. Also, tomorrow we have a listener who has emailed me, Ralph. You're not going to want to hear this story, but he has a coworker who has Asperger syndrome.
I know how he feels.
Yep.
And thanks to that coworker, the information that he learned from that coworker, this listener's life was saved.
Nope.
How about that? A coworker who saved his life because he had the Asperger's. I'm just telling you that there's an upside.
Nope.org, nope.net.
And so much more that I promise will be entertaining, not so much to tell you about it today. But trust us on that and come on back tomorrow morning right here for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away, though. K-Rock has plenty of great music straight ahead, including Puddle of Mud. Never thought you'd hear those two phrases together in the same sentence, but it's true. Also, no doubt, the new one from STP, Green Day, Cage the Elephant, and more with Cat Corbett, all right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.